Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. The Word of God says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen."
Amen.
Thank you, Lord and Father, for the opportunity to be here tonight in church. You are our Father, and we praise you, and we glorify your name. Please, Lord, bless our earthly fathers. Bless my father in Sacramento. Bless my father-in-law, Lord, and help us as children and sons and daughters of our fathers to be truly live up to your standards. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. First of all, I was sort of surprised. Can we take the echo out? Thank you. I was sort of surprised that they picked me to speak to the youth tonight. First of all, as of today, I woke up this morning and asked my wife, there's no surprises for me today, right? I'm not a father. And that's true that I'm still not, and there's so many other people that they could have chosen. But in the end, as I was preparing for the message, I realized that the reason they probably chose me was because we have this father complex or authority complex. It's easier when it comes from a son or a daughter than coming from a father, right? And a lot of times we go through those times as well, and I can hopefully give you some of my examples and stories that I've had with my own father, and then kind of go through the Word of God and show you what his standard is for us in the relationship of child and father. Each week prior to Father's Day, the National Father's Day Council picks Father of the Year. This year, they picked someone again. Here are some of the things they wrote about this father: his success in balancing accomplished careers and the demand of fatherhood, his profound generosity, leadership, and tireless dedication to both his public office and many philanthropic organizations. These were sort of his characteristics, why they picked him as Father of the Year. And by all means, if you look through all these characteristics, he sounds like he deserves to be the Father of the Year. Well, this year they picked Bill Clinton to be the Father of the Year. Right. So I was very surprised and at the same time very disappointed, because in America and just over around the world, we have accepted that the best father is the one that's a leader, or the one that is in the public service. And unfortunately, as we all know, many of them don't even come close to a true father. But of course, it doesn't really matter who the National Father's Day Council picks as the Father of the Year, because reality is that your father is your hero every day. Now, I want you to pay attention very closely, because it's going to be in the next few minutes. I want you to understand where the children, or us sons and daughters, come in. There's going to be a couple of questions you can ask yourself about your dad. And then afterwards, the question becomes is, what are you doing about this? So here's a couple of things. Think about it. Is your dad a good disciplinarian? Is he a good listener? Is he open-minded? Is he a good teacher? Does he take time to spend with you? Does he lead by example? Is he supportive or loyal? Does he challenge you? Does he protect you and your family? Does he show unconditional love? I asked you these questions because I want you to start to appreciate what your dad and what your father does for you and your family. You see, God gave you, your dad and your mom, the wisdom to raise you into who you are today. But let's go kind of make sense of all these questions. And here's going to be the thing about it. Ask that first question again. Is he a good disciplinarian? If you say yes, do you obey him? Are you obeying him? If he's a good listener, if yes, do you talk to your dad? If he's open-minded, are you open-minded? If he's a good teacher, do you listen to him? Does he take the time to spend with you? If yes, do you spend time with him? Does he lead by example? Are you learning to lead by example? Is he supportive and loyal? If yes, are you loyal? Does he challenge you? And if yes, Are you rising to his challenges? Does he protect you and your family? If yes, are you thankful to him for his protection? And does he show unconditional love? If yes, then do you love him? See, there's a relationship, and tonight I want you to not just respect your dad and, you know, give him a hug. I want you to understand that this is the reason our dads are our heroes, and what are we doing as sons and daughters about that? I hope that tonight you're going to start to appreciate your dad, because the bottom line is that God, this is God's ultimate plan, and he agrees with me, right? Is the reality of it is that God has given you your dad. Do you understand that? He had a plan. He put your dad in your life, whether he's a great man or not. That is the ultimate God's plan. And God has put your dad in your life for a reason. How many times have we gone up to our dads and told them, hey, dad, you know, you're such an awesome dad, and his response is usually, what do you need? How much do you need, right? Many times we'll go along a story, and I've done that before. I'll tell my dad, you know, my friend from high school, he invited me to go to this movie, and reality is that all along I wanted to go to the movie, and nobody invited me. But again, we try to be fishy about it. I'm not sure if you guys heard this story, but a young boy had just gotten his driver's license, and he went up to his dad and said, Dad, I'd like to speak to you about the privileges about driving your car. So Dad said, well, come to my office and we'll talk. So they went, sat down together and said, okay, well, for you to drive my car, we're going to need to follow some guidelines. And the main three are going to be, first, you have to get better grades. Second, you have to read the Bible more. And third is you have to cut your hair, right? Well, about a month went by, and then the boy came home and said, Dad, I'm ready to see if reevaluate what you just asked me to do. And the dad said, well, come into the office, and then said, well, son, I'm very proud of you. You did many of the things I've asked you to. Your grades went up. You studied the Bible diligently, but you didn't cut your hair, right? So the young man waited for a moment and replied, you know, Dad, I've been thinking about that. But you see, even Samson had long hair, Moses had long hair, Noah had long hair, Jesus had long hair. To which the dad replies, yes, you're right. And they all walked everywhere they went. So some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. But too many times we try to outsmart the man or the father of the house. But he is the one that God has put in our lives. And we have to understand that. The faster you realize that it's God's plan, the better child you're going to be. But see, more than anything, it's because God has some standards for you as a child, for you as a son and daughter. And I wanted to spend just a little bit of time about what are God's standards. Well, first one is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's what our verses said. And that is about obeying is defined as an act of following instructions. In order to live according to God's standards, God requires, this is a requirement, God requires of us to obey, to follow instructions. Simple terms that I've been able to find is, you obey means to do what you're told. But furthermore, to do it willingly and submissively. By obeying, we acknowledge and accept that our parents and fathers are our authority over us. See, this is not an authority that we're giving to our parents. This is not what I give to my dad or you give to your dad. God has given them this. God gave them wisdom and knowledge and the spiritual ability to bring you up in the godly way. There's something else important about the standard. This requirement by God has no limit. So just because we're getting older does not mean that we don't have to obey our parents. Obedience is required at all times. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, the word of God says, children, obey your parent in everything, for this pleases God. The next thing is, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment. Honor is about your attitude towards your parents. Honor is personal and very practical. Honor is something you give. It's an action. It's, you have to actually do something about this. Again, this is a requirement by God. It's not just something that he writes about in the Bible. We are to honor our parents, not because they necessarily deserve it, right? And this is something that we know. Some fathers are going to be godly fathers and some are not. But just because your father is a Christian, not a Christian, does not mean that you necessarily have to disobey him and dishonor him, because still God has implemented him in your life. Maybe because you are able to change him to and help him accept God. When you're a child, you give your parents honor by obeying them. When you are mature, you give your parents honor by living in righteousness. And when they're older, you give them by honor by caring for them. Well, in return for all this is that the Lord promises and the Word of God promises us that you may live many, many years. Exodus 20:12 says, in return for our honor to our parents, your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. May the Lord help us with this, to really obey and then honor our parents. That's what we do, and glorify his name. Amen.
Amen.